بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was in Medina Munawwara, there was a person, a munafiq, by the name of Bishr. And this munafiq, this hypocrite, on one occasion, he came into contact with a Jew, and he had some form of altercation, some form of dispute with this Jewish person. As the argument progressed, this Jewish person suggested that they take the matter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him to arbitrate between them. Because he knew that in this case, he was right and Bishr was at fault. And he also knew the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how just he was. Therefore, he made this suggestion. Bishr, being a munafiq, a hypocrite, and knowing that he was in the wrong, he suggested that they take the matter up to a Jewish scholar by the name of Ka'b bin Ashraf. And Ka'b bin Ashraf was a sworn enemy of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, they continued to argue, and finally, they decided that they will take the matter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the case was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did his necessary investigation and he found, quite rightfully so, that the Jew was in the right, and therefore he passed favor, or he passed judgment in favor of this Jew. Bishr, being a munafiq, being a hypocrite, of course was unhappy with the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore he convinced this Jew that they now take the matter up to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, knowing full well the harshness and the sternness of Umar radiallahu anhu against the disbelievers. So this matter was then taken to Umar radiallahu anhu. And when the case was presented before him, and he was informed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already passed a judgment with regard to this case, he sought leave and he went to his home. And after a few minutes, he emerged carrying his sword. He then addressed this munafiq Bishr, and he asked him, that tell me, I have heard that this case was already taken to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he passed in favor of the Jew and against you. Is this true? So this munafiq replied in the affirmative. Umar radiallahu anhu immediately removed his sword and chopped off his neck. Upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, takes an oath, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ, by your Rabb, by your Lord, nobody can claim to have true iman until they appoint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the judge, as the hakim, as the arbitrator between them in whatever issues crop up amongst them. And not only do they appoint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a judge, as an arbitrator, but ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتِ. After accepting his judgment, they do not find any trace of doubt in their heart regarding the justice and regarding the truthfulness of the judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to making Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our guide, our leader, our arbitrator, our hakim, then this is the direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find many verses in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and together with that obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَن يُطِيعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. That person who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has in fact obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as we had mentioned previously, that no law, no hukam from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is devoid of benefit, devoid of wisdom. Appointing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a judge, as an arbitrator, is something which appeals to logic and common sense as well. Because if we have to look into this world, whenever some argument crops up, or there is some dispute, and an arbitrator is appointed, then we find that this arbitrator is either one of two types. Either he is partial and shows favoritism towards one party. Or if he is just, he is impartial, then we find that he is a human being, he is prone to mistakes, he is prone to error. But when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the most just human being that walked on the surface of this earth. Therefore it is inconceivable that he would ever be impartial towards one party. And at the same time, Quran declares, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak from his own desire. Rather, every word that he utters is divinely inspired from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So appointing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a judge, as an arbitrator in our matters, is something which is not only a command from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it also appeals to logic and appeals to common sense. Moving on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again addresses the Christians regarding their belief in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, which we had discussed briefly last night. However, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the reason for the downfall of the Christians. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them, Ya ahl al-kitabi la taghlu fi deenikum, that O people of the book, do not make ghulu in your deen. What is ghulu? The famous commentator of the Holy Quran, Imam Jassas Razi rahimahullah, explaining ghulu, he says, Al-ghulu fi deen huwa mujawazatu haddi al-haqq fi. Then what is ghulu when it comes to deen? Ghulu refers to exceeding the bounds, transgressing the limits set down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that this ummah, unlike the previous ummahs, has been made a moderate and a balanced ummah, a moderate and a balanced nation. Meaning that every law from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, is complete, is well balanced. When it comes to every aspect of our life, whether it be our social dealings, whether it be our conduct with regard to our family members, or whether it be the way we conduct ourselves in our businesses, every aspect, every facet of our life has already been explained to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no need to look further or look beyond the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma to go and fetch some pebbles to pelt the jamarat. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma goes and he returns with some medium sized pebbles. Upon seeing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes extremely elated, happy, and thereafter he addresses Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma and he says that إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَّ فِي الدِّينِ, be wary of exceeding the bounds and transgressing the limits when it comes to deen. فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوُّ فِي دِينِهِمْ, because the downfall of the nations of the past was that they exceeded the bounds and they transgressed the limits when it came to their deen. The Christians understood the status of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, yet they chose to raise him onto a pedestal which he was not worthy of. So for us to ensure that we do not make ghulu, we do not transgress the limits, many times our emotions become flared up and we make statements that are not befitting of a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So protect ourselves from ghulu, from transgressing the limits. And at the same time, we should not fall short and we should not fall back in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we manage to live a moderate life, a balanced life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us in the hadith, قَارِبُوا وَسَدِّدُوا, that live a moderate life, a balanced life, in every aspect of your life, whether it be spending, whether it be the cars we drive, the homes we live in, whether it be our ibadat as well, if we can attain moderation and balance, then we will find success. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.